listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, 805 Central. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Rocco Malardi from Trinity Lutheran Church in Parson, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas. Pastor Malardi, welcome to His Time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being our guest pastor and helping us study this text today. I'd love to hear about your congregations, Trinity Lutheran Church in Parsons, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas.
We are two small congregations in two different towns. Both towns have their own flavors and personalities. Both congregations have their own flavors and personalities. But we work together to do a lot of stuff. This week, we're in the middle of VBS in Oswego. Last week, we did VBS in Parsons. And we're gearing up for this summer's mission team, where we'll have two congregations from Minnesota and the Iowa District West come down and help us rebuild houses throughout both communities.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for the ministry happening there at Trinity and Parsons and St. Paul's in Oswego and the many blessings that have come from that. It sounds like a busy time with Vacation Bible School and preparing for a mission team. Well, we are studying Galatians chapter 2 today, verses 1 through 21. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study?
I actually looked up what Luther had to say about this text. Luther says that St. Paul writes in chapters 1 and 2 that everyone must be justified without merit, without works, without the law, through Christ alone. Chapters 3 and 4, he provides all this with passages of scriptures, examples, and analogies. He shows that the law brings sin and a curse rather than righteousness. Righteousness is promised by God, fulfilled by Christ without the law, given to us out of the grace of God alone. Chapters 5 and 6, he teaches that the works of love that ought to follow through faith. So what we see in the book of Galatians is Christ's mercy and forgiveness poured out for us, and our life of faith in response.
All right. Well, very good. Let's dig into Galatians chapter 2 today, verses 1 through 21. We're studying with Pastor Malardi from Trinity Lutheran Church in Parson, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas. Here we go. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Then, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation, and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. All right, so after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. It had been 14 years since he'd gone up to Jerusalem?
That's what it says.
Wow.
And this is referenced back to verse 18, when he says, then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. So this is 17 years into Paul's ministry now.
Wow.
They head off to Jerusalem. Barnabas, being a Jew, and Titus, being a Gentile, go along with him. And I think that is an important note to make, that Barnabas was a Jew and Titus was a Gentile later on, when they are talking about Titus being trying trying to get Titus circumcised.
Hmm. So I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain.
It's an interesting note to realize that Paul set out 17 years into his ministry to find out if the gospel that he was preaching was the same as the gospel of the rest of the disciples, which is kind of a funny note to think that he thought he might have been preaching the wrong thing for that long. So they head up there by this revelation. Is an interesting thing as well, that this is almost a divine revelation from God himself to tell Paul to go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So he goes up, though, because of a revelation set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential.
Yes, that would be the 12, mm. or at least the three, Peter and mm-hmm. James and John.
And so the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain.
Yes, there's where he's kind of, have I been preaching the right thing or not?
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of funny to know that, but Paul had been preaching the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they were giving him the right hand of fellowship towards the end of this chapter, or this section.
Mm-hmm. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek.
There must have been some form of Judaizing going mm-hmm. on in the Church of Jerusalem at the time, that they would even be thinking to compel Titus to become a Jew before he became a Christian, as if the law needed to be fulfilled by the individual before Christ could fulfill it for that individual. And that's what I think is going on here when Titus is being compelled to be circumcised, as if the church in Jerusalem once again thought that circumcision was going to make a person a Christian.
Hmm. So, yet secretly, because of false brothers, secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you.
Hmm. It's an interesting note here that it says, because of false brethren. Who were these guys? Were these guys from the Church of Jerusalem? Are these Christians? Who are they? That I could not figure out. Luther was kind of confused by that as well, as to who these false brethren were. Because if you state that they are the Church of Jerusalem, Paul is condemning the teachings of the disciples or the apostles at this time. So it is an interesting little thing in which I have no answer to who they may be. But they have slipped in to mm-hmm. spy out the freedom that Paul and Tim and Titus and Barnabas have in Christ, and that the church in Antioch has in Christ, which, interestingly, in the book of Acts, the church of Antioch is where the word Christians comes from. That is the first church called Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So that these false brethren, whoever they may be, have slipped in to seek out or to accuse the Church of Antioch of false teaching.
And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me, because God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised.
This, Paul, it says here, was entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of the missionary arm at the time. But this was before the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. After that, Eusebius, the early church historian from the court of Constantine the Great, tells us that all of the disciples at that point traveled out. But at this point, they were still all in Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, they were only preaching to the Jews. They forgot that the dogs come and eat from the crumbs of the table of the children. But Paul had not, and Paul had set out in search of the lost non-Jews. So Paul was entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, whereas Peter and the other disciples were all still in Jerusalem preaching the gospel to the Jews of the day. Let's see, the next thing that I really wanted to make mention of here, you got to love Paul. Paul is smart and witty, and he's never afraid to throw a few punches in there. He states here, and when they perceived the grace that was given to me, James, that is the brother of our Lord, Cephas and John, who were reported to be pillars, he doesn't call Peter here Peter anymore. He's calling him Cephas, which is kind of a slap in the face. Peter is the Greek word Petros for Peter. Jesus says here, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word Peter, or Petros, is Peter's name. Petra is rock, where, what is this? Cephas is the Aramaic term for rock as well. So Paul is lessening Peter, calling him just kind of a plain and ordinary rock, and then he's stating this to the wavering flip-flopper. Paul's really making fun of Peter by calling him Cephas. So you got to love Paul. He's always throwing little jabs in there at people. And then the three gave to him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. This is what we talk about in the Missouri Synod is altar and pulpit fellowship. They're giving him the right to preach in the churches in Jerusalem or in the churches in Antioch. This is what our church body does when we go out and engage in conversations with other denominations and try to build altar and pulpit fellowship. So it is Paul's initial thing here where he worries that I should be running or have run in vain is confirmed that he has not, because now the entirety of the church has extended to him the right hand of fellowship and have said, you preach the same gospel to the uncircumcised that we preach to the circumcised. So Paul is being given the approval of the apostles and the right to continue on in his missionary efforts.
And last, the last verse of this section, or this paragraph, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do.
Beautiful words. It is in response to the grace and mercy of Christ that we are given the privilege to live out our life in love for others. And that's really what they're telling him when they say, remember the poor, remember Christ's grace and mercy upon you, and issue that same grace, mercy, and peace to others. It's why we at our congregations host mission teams, so that we can show the love of Christ to the communities that we live in. It's a beautiful thing to be able to reflect the love of Jesus to those around you. And that's what they're telling him. Remember, you got to remember the poor here.
Looking over this first paragraph before we go on to the next section, Pastor, anything else about Paul's travels here and being accepted by the apostles in this first paragraph before we go on to the next section?
Just the movement here.
Mm-hmm.
The movement from verse 1, he went to Jerusalem in this section, and in the next section, we are going to see Cephas, or Peter, come from Jerusalem to Antioch.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Rocco Milardi from Trinity Lutheran Church in Parsons, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas. We're in Galatians chapter 2. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying. We'll pick up around verse 11 in Galatians chapter 2. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Have you discovered Hidden Gems yet? Operated by Lutheran Senior Services, Hidden Gems is a resale store that features gently used items such as jewelry, home furnishings, clothing, and more. Proceeds benefit benevolent care for older adults who can no longer support themselves. At 9051 Watson Road, Hidden Gems accepts donations and welcomes shoppers from 10 to 6, Tuesdays through Saturdays. Follow us on Facebook or visit lssliving.org/hiddengems.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me on the phone today, the Reverend Rocco Milardi, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Parsons, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas. We are studying Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 11?
Sure.
All right. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?" All right, so we're back to Cephas. Cephas came to Antioch, and this is, as you mentioned earlier, this is kind of a step down using the name Cephas for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the beginning of the fight. I mean, the two parties are about to go at it. Here mm-hmm. we see Paul getting ready and also Peter getting ready. And Paul is never one to hold back punches and is always willing to speak the truth. and so he's getting ready to confront Peter here. And he comes up to him and opposes him to his face because, as Paul states, he already stands condemned. But before certain men, he came from James and ate with the Gentiles. Now, as I was preparing for this this broadcast, I was reading from Eusebius, Eusebius being a 3rd century church historian from the court of Constantine the Great, wrote about the canonization of the New Testament. And he included in that canon, or in that list of books that were not included in the canon, which is in the New Testament itself, a book called the Didache. And as I was preparing for this, I read that little book, and the Didache, meaning the teaching of the 12. Mm-hmm. So this is a book that lays alongside the New Testament, but is not part of the New Testament because it does not agree with the entirety of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
In that little book, it lays the way of life and the way of death. And what it essentially does is create Jesus into a new Moses, stating that Jesus came to give us nothing but new laws to live by, and the Christian then, therefore, must live by these new laws. You can understand why it wasn't included in the New Testament now.
Sure.
But if these were what Peter was operating with as his kind of rule book for life, you can understand easily then why Peter would have been withdrawing from the Gentiles when the other Jews from Jerusalem arrived. For he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, that is, fearing the other Jews from Jerusalem, or the other Christian Jews from Jerusalem. And the rest of the Jews acted insincerely. Now, I noted before that this is Titus and Barnabas. Barnabas was a Jew and Titus a Gentile. You can understand then, if he had been listening to both Paul and Peter speak, how he could have been convinced to withdraw from the Gentiles and only eat with the Jews. And Paul, never mixing words, saw this and saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. And he went up to Peter before them all and said, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews?" What it seems as if what was going on here was that the Jews, the Christian Jews of Jerusalem, were making the Gentile Christians obey Jewish customs to be considered true Christians. And that is what Paul is reacting against here when he calls them hypocrites. I don't have any more to add, do you?
No. But when I saw their conduct, I was not. When I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like a Jew?"
Yeah, exactly. It's a Judaizing effect,
mm-hmm.
meaning that you must act as if you are Jewish born to become a Christian. You have to go through Moses to get to Christ instead of just going to Jesus.
Anything else before we go on to verse 15?
No.
All right.
Let's turn and see what Paul has to say to Peter.
All right. "We ourselves," verse 15, "we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose."
Beautiful words of Paul here. This is pure and true. That he starts out by rebuking Peter by saying that they were both born Jews and not Gentile sinners. But yet, none of them, and no one of us, are justified by the works of the law. Paul goes on to say, it is only through faith in Christ Jesus. This is why we're baptized, and we're not circumcised. because it is only through Christ that we receive the grace, mercy, and peace of God. It's only through his sacrifice upon the cross that we are given this mercy, the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. It's not something that we can do, not something that can be found within us or something that we can find somewhere in the world. When we look to the world, ourselves, or to anything else, we are looking away from Christ. But when we look to Christ, we find the true forgiveness of God. We find his love for us. Paul goes on to say, but if I build up again these things which I tore down, then I prove myself to be a transgressor. Paul's saying to Peter, if I go ahead and make these Gentiles have to become Jews, then I'm only tearing Christ down and not allowing them to taste the fullness and the sweetness of Jesus' forgiveness, because then I have shackled them with traditions and laws that they must follow to receive the mercy of Jesus. But Paul's telling us that through the law, we have all died to sin, and we might all live to Christ. We don't need to be circumcised. We don't need to follow special Jewish practices to receive the grace, mercy, and peace of God. What we need to do is to look to Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our salvation. And so Paul is encouraging us, look to Jesus, look to him, and him alone, and you will find the grace of God. As he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the only place in life that we should be looking. It's why we join together on Sunday morning, because throughout the week, all sorts of things happen. And all sorts of things pull our attention away from Jesus, the author, source, and of our salvation. It's why we come to church, because we are being encouraged by each other, being fed by Christ's word and by his sacraments, that we might turn our attention back to Jesus, who gives us his grace, mercy, and peace. For it's only through Christ that we have the forgiveness of God. It's only through his sacrifice upon the cross that we find peace with God. And so we don't nullify the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
For if justification were to come through something that we must do, then Jesus died for no purpose. But we look to Christ because we know by our actions we cannot appease God in any way. But we look to Jesus, God's Son, who has appeased the wrath of the Father for our sins on our behalf. We look to him because only in him do we find the love of God.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean to die with Christ?
We all have sinful desires. We all have lustful appetites. We all have all sorts of destructive things. The Ten Commandments tell us what we must do before a holy and righteous God. And if we look at them as the law, then we see ourselves as never being able to uphold it. But if we look at them in light of the grace, mercy, and peace of God that was poured out upon us in our baptism, that is lived out by faith each day, we look at these same commandments and we see, hey, I get to love the Lord my God. I get to call upon his name. I get to hear his word and hold it sacred. I get to honor my father and mother. I get to help and support my neighbor. I get to love my husband or wife. I get to help my neighbors in all things. Speak well of them. Help them to keep their possessions. Help improve them. We get to do this because of the love of Jesus. We're no longer looking to ourselves and how we can better ourselves, but we're looking to Christ and his grace, mercy, and peace. And then through Christ, we look to those around us, to those on our right and left, and we see that we can serve them. And in service to them, we are in service to our Lord. So when you ask, what do I think it means to die to, verse 20? Be crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look to Jesus and we see his love for us, and then we turn and look to our neighbor and see their need and try to help them, we are no longer putting ourselves at the center of our own lives, but we are putting the grace, mercy, and peace of Christ there. We're being fed by his word, as we're doing today, studying his word. We go to church. We receive his body and blood poured out for us. And in turn, in response to this grace, we act in love and kindness to those around us. If you're asking me what I think it means to die, to be crucified with Christ, that is my answer.
Looking over the text of the... looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text?
Paul's a fun guy to study.
It's never a dull moment when studying Paul, is it?
No, never is. Yeah, doesn't mix words. He's always willing to lay it all out there, which is always fun to read.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Pastor, for helping us study in Galatians chapter 2 today. The Reverend Rocco Malardi from Trinity Lutheran Church in Parsons, Kansas, and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Oswego, Kansas. Thanks for being our guest pastor today.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you and all the saints there at Trinity in Parsons and St. Paul's in Oswego, Kansas. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more His Time. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.